The following is a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. It is being offered as non-copyright material, so please feel free to share it with others.
Amen. In keeping with stretching me today, I'm teaching a message that I'm not exactly sure I know how to do. This is really new to me. This is really fresh in me. I'm going to teach it the best way that I know how, and we're going to continue down this road, but I'm already asking you to please listen with the ears of the Spirit, because it's going to sound somewhat like some stuff you've heard before, but I'm going to tell you there's a different spirit behind it. There's a different thing that God wants you to get behind it. I know that. Some of you who've been with me in small circles, you know, I went in to Dean and Gail's business the other day to look at a computer. And, you know, Dean pushed the button and I started playing, right? I mean, it just started coming out of me. And 30, 45 minutes later, why I was done preaching and forgot why I was in there to begin with. And so this is just in me. I just can't quite get it as fully as I would like to. And so I sense in the same experience I had today, I sense a kind of a life change that's happening in me that I think is a really, really good thing for the body of Christ. Not just for me, I want you to get it. And so I'm going to begin teaching a series entitled Provision-Based Living. And I've been talking about it some with people. I've been talking about it with pastors a lot, trying to see if I could just see if there was any spark of life that said, oh, that's what God was trying to tell me. And so I've been floating this boat by a lot of people going, have you heard anything like this? Have you anybody taught you this? And it's been very interesting. And so if you would please open your Bibles up to the book of Philippians, please, chapter 4, and then let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, by your Holy Spirit today, speak into the lives of these your people. Jesus, you promised when you left that it was good for us for you to leave. Because if you didn't leave, you wouldn't be able to send back the Holy Spirit. So we recognize what he was sent back for, to lead and guide us into all the truth, to remind us of those things that you have said, and to guide us, Father God. And so today we depend on the Holy Spirit of God to process this message into our hearts, Father. And Father, today I declare prophetically, I believe they will receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you the basis of what this is. Some time ago, the Holy Spirit tuned my hearing. And I started hearing some of you and other people I was talking, I started hearing people talk and what I thought was need-based living. It went a little bit something like this. Basically, every time that someone would talk, what I would hear was what they believed they needed from God. And I began to hear this need-based thing. In fact, I was actually so tempted at times. People say, Pastor, would you pray for me? We believe in God for these things. And then they would begin to tell me the litany of things that they were believing God for. And all the while they were doing that, it just was ringing sour. You ever had anything like that where it just rings wrong inside of you? You were hearing this going, this is, I don't know what it is, but it's not quite right. And then God began to kind of show me a couple of things. And I want you to know that I'm going to try my best today to make a comparison between need-based living, which I think is where the church is to a large degree today. And I don't want you to hear it critically. I don't think anybody's ever taught us this. Nobody taught me this. And initially, I was kind of, you know, peeved about it. Right? You ever found something out and went, geez, if they'd have just told me this earlier. You know, and I was just kind of peeved about it. And I went, well, you know, and then I realized that God pours out stuff on purpose at a time when people are prepared to listen. Uh-huh. And so we wouldn't have heard it. We simply wouldn't have heard it. And you say, well, I would have heard it. You are prideful beyond belief if you believe you would have heard it and God knew you wouldn't. So don't come, we needed this before. Nope, today's the day that you needed it. And if you will listen by the Spirit of God, you're going to get some stuff today. So let me define for you what need-based living is. Need-based living is literally living your life in a state that requires supply. Living your life in a state that requires, or in a condition that requires supply. So when you say, I have need of thus and so, you are having a need-based situation where you're saying, I need supply. Something needs to be added. Now, will you please be honest enough with me today to just recognize in your own prayer, in your own... Listen, if you got your prayer list in your Bible right now, get it out and look at it. Go down the list and see how many of those things you actually believe something needs to be supplied for it to happen. Listen to your prayer. God, would you please do this? You're saying there is a need, a want of supply in your need-based living. This faith ministry would close if you don't give your money. We're in need of a supply. Now, we are not. Sometime in September, we passed the need of having to take up offerings. Our whole 2011 year was funded. If we never took up another offering, we would not be in the hole in 2011. And I went, is that just because we're so good at this? And be careful, because a lot of us actually believe by praying right, we stay out of need. By, you know, kind of begging God the right way. How many are arm twisters of God? Right? Oh, God, you know, and you start that thing, you go down that road. That is need-based. I need supply. And I found out, much to my discouragement initially, that God had done everything He was going to do. He supplied everything He was going to supply. Putting it in human terms, He has nothing more to give. See, that'll rattle your brain. Because many of you are begging God for stuff. And you actually think if you beg hard enough that your request will go to the top of the pile that He's sorting through. Let me just tell you, God isn't sorting through a list. Want to know why? He's already given everything He's going to give. Now you might ask the same question I ask is, okay, then who's missing this? It's you and me. It's not God. Why isn't God doing this? What is it you want Him to do? I need Him to fix this. Therein lies the definition, the want of supply of need-based living. And I'm here to tell you, it's wrong. I'm not sure exactly what right looks like, but I know what wrong looks like now. Right? If you ever did any teaching on prayer, you found out that Jesus taught about what prayer wasn't first. He said, this is not what it looks like right here. So I now know what it's not supposed to look like. Does this help your prayer list at all? Just since I'm messing with you. Do you have to scratch out about 7 out of 10 things? Let me help you even further. The minute that the word I is injected, it's need-based. I this, I that. We this, we that. What's the focus of that prayer? What I need. Me. And you can beg God all you want. But if your focus is wrong, I mean... I got a text this week from the great white hunters that were up in the hills. I text Crone. I said, Crone, have you killed anything yet? And he says, one cow. And I text him back and I said, tell Hilbert to put his glasses on. There's cows down here he can kill. Now, see, the focus was wrong. They had killed a cow, a female elk. at this point in the deal. But when he said cow, which I knew, I mean, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I knew he was talking, but I thought that was real funny. You could have stayed here and killed the cows. In fact, they won't even run, about 2 miles down the road, they won't even run from you. They're all right there. And in fact, if you just shoot in the general direction, you'll kill one. I mean, honestly, you can kill them from the highway. You go down here. I bet you could kill a cow driving by the feedlot down here. You wouldn't even have to slow down. Some of you probably have the experience. If you put headlights on your bullet and slowed it down to 55 miles an hour, you'd realize it's easy to kill a deer. Some of you get that pretty quick. You couldn't shoot one in 100 days, but you hit one every year with your car. Yeah, slow your bullet down. A state that requires supply. Provision. What does provision-based living look like? Provision-based living does this. It recognizes that there has been a previous preparation. A previous preparation. Now let me ask you provision-based thinkers. How many of you are going home to eat today? How many of you have got something in the oven or on the stove or you're... There, Peggy, but what are you having? Tacos. Okay, praise God. Is there enough? Okay. She operated in provision-based thinking or living because she made preparation ahead of time. She didn't go home and, yeah, amen, that's good, brother. She didn't go home and say, well, okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever God puts on the table, I guess we're going to eat. I want to tell you something. If you don't follow the natural progression of God, you will miss this. Let me show you something. Remember when Jesus was feeding the 5,000? Remember that? What did he say to them? Sit down in groups of 50. How many of you rebellious people would have went up to Jesus and said, I don't want to sit in groups of 50, and I especially, there's about 50 people in this section, I especially don't want to sit with some of these people. I will tell you that you will be in the group that doesn't get fed. If you don't follow the provision-based instructions, you're going to be outside provision. Right? And you can say, oh Lord God, you know how hungry I am, then sit in groups of 50. Follow the I'm making a plan beforehand rule. That's what God did. So to cut to the chase, which I'm going to pick on next week, but you'll get to hear a little bit of this week. If we see that God has made provisions beforehand, all we really have to do is to recognize that everything was indeed in Jesus. You know, I can't find a scripture in the Bible that says pray for healing. Can't find one. Double dog dare you. Go look. I looked. Can't find one. What would you do if we sent you out of here with our fancy little bottle of prepare for war anointing oil? I didn't even know that it said that up here. Gave that to you and said, don't come back until you get him healed. Well, but Pastor, you don't understand. You're right, I don't. I'm telling you what I just said is more right than what we've been doing. I'm not exactly, see, so I tell you, I'm in no man's land here because, whew, making previous preparation. Here's another provision-based living tip. Measures taken beforehand. By the way, I just looked up provision in my dictionary. Don't make it too difficult. You know how hard you have to work to make this complicated? I mean, you got to work hard at this to make it complicated. Either it is or it isn't in the cross. One of the other definitions means previous stipulation, terms, or agreement. I love this one because God promised to be our God. God promised to be our God. God promised to be our God. Whose responsibility is it? God's. He said, I'm going to be it. I'm your God. The rest of you people who are just playing at this are making a huge mistake. You're saying, I need a God. You're living in a need-based relationship. And it's wrong as wrong can be. Here's another definition of provision-based living. Measures taken for future demand. Measures taken for future demand. I want to focus on this one for just a second. If you'll get what I'm teaching, it will be the measures that you take for the future demand you don't yet know about. If you'll get it today, it'll pay dividends in the future. You won't even know what's coming because it's measures taken today for future demand. So if you'll dig in the box that is Jesus and find what He's provided for you, it'll come in handy when you say, oh, I have a need. Well, first of all, how many of you are just prepared today, just based on what little bit I said, to change and say, I don't have any needs? No needs here. I'm not need. I simply refuse to be need-based. Well, does that mean all your needs are met? Yes.
Hallelujah.
Well, does that mean you don't have any needs? No, I don't have any. Well, what about this? What about this? Jesus already supplied for it. Dig around in the box. Jeremy came to me this morning and he says, now, how many of you know that Jeremy and I are wired different? Okay? If you go into Jeremy's office, there are no color-coded, labeled files. If you go into my office, there are 3 stacks of them. At least 18 different. I have a label maker. It's not my file. My files are not written on. They are labeled. By the way, I'm the only one in this building, generally speaking, who uses these kind of file folders. I want nothing to fall out. My file folders only have an opening at the top. The sides are sealed. Those are the kind I use. Okay? Sorry, you say, why do you do that? Because I like them. Anyway, Jeremy said to me this morning, he had some new wing ding on the side of his guitar this morning. And he says, I need a piece of Velcro. I need some of that stick-on Velcro. And I said, I don't have any. He says, yes, you do. I said, you're telling the obsessive compulsive guy that I have this? He says, yes, you took it from me. Now, he wasn't being accusatory. What he was saying was true. Occasionally, when Jeremy has something that I want, I know that he may not be able to find it the next time I need it. So I take it from him. Because I have, and you know this, where's the rest of my staff people? How many of you know there is one place in my desk or in my office where you can find what you need that I've put the stuff? Is that right? He's shaking his head. I have a single drawer and it has all the keys of the kingdom in it. Okay, it's got little strips of Velcro, just like he said. I went and looked and I said, okay, if he said I took it from him, that sounds exactly like my character. If he had it, I would have taken it from him. Not because I didn't trust him with any of that kind of stuff, but because if I had it, I always knew where it was. Okay, in case I needed it. Now, whatever I took from him, I didn't really need, but I had a little strip of Velcro, stick-on Velcro, and he needed a piece of it. And I went back and I lifted in my little middle drawer or my little bottom drawer of the middle file cabinet. And I pulled that up and I started looking down in there. All kinds of cool stuff in there. I got padlocks in there. Say, what do you need padlocks for? When I borrowed Daryl's trailer, I got to lock it up. I actually have a fire stick in there. One of them click-on things. Want to know why? I don't ever want to have to go looking for something. We have to light a candle at a wedding. I use it about, once a year. But I got it. I got double stick tape in there. I got little Velcro strips that you can tie around a cord. And then when you wrap the cord up, you wrap that thing around. It keeps it all nice and neat in there. I have a toothbrush in there and toothpaste. I have a stick of deodorant in there. I have a comb. I have several different kinds of electronic manipulating ends for power sources that will plug into one power source and change the size of the end so you can plug it into something. Now, the reason I'm going to such detail to tell you, I also have a non-marking eraser in there. I have 2 boxes full of different kinds of pads. I have some little felt pads that you stick on the back of stuff so when you shut it, they don't make noise. Pretty cool to have. I've got some little plastic ones in there. Now, the reason that I'm going to such detail in telling you this, I also have some very neat little snap-on badge holders. And like, if you were to come here for our pastor's meeting, I've made little name tags that clip onto people, you know. And they say, Glenn Klein, senior pastor, Tracy Klein, children's administrator, you know, Pastor Wes and Sandra, youth and family ministries, Jeremy, technology and music. And they see our little pretty faces on there and they click them on. I've got a whole sack full of those in my box. Right in the supply box is everything I just mentioned to you. If you need a non-marking eraser, by the way, non-marking erasers are way cool. They're way more rubbery than the kinds that are on the end of your pencils that tear paper. You understand if you're obsessive compulsive and you tear the paper, you have to start over. You can't use a torn piece of paper. So I have to have a special eraser. I know. You know, my mom would tell me, she says, I could always find your desk when she went to school. She'd just open it up and all the pencils were facing the same way and all of them were sharp. From the time I can remember, I've been this way. I thought, you know, it just works this way. How many of you, if you know that you need a non-marking eraser, do you know where to go to get it? Because I've just told you about the supply. Now, I keep my office locked, so don't think you can go in there and mess with that. Because it's my supply. The point is that I told you all this stuff. You now know where it exists. It's just a simple thing. It's a physical thing. But what if you knew where the things of God existed? What if the provision that had been made for you previously, you knew what box to look in? And you went digging through it and you go, whoa, look at here. They said it was here. And I found it. To measures taken for future demand. That's what we're doing today. We're talking about provision-based living. Now, this is, don't say, well, I'm just going to live in faith. No, you're in faith for what might come. You're believing God for something to come. I'm here to tell you that provision-based living recognizes that it's here. It's in the box. You do not have to believe God for a non-marking eraser in this church. You don't have to believe God. You don't have to get down on your face and pray and wail, cry, beg God to manifest one. I know where it is. It's in my box. You don't have to beg for it. How much more would God give those who ask? If a good father knows how to give bread to his child instead of a scorpion, how much more would your father give? I mean, I just told you about some of the stupidest stuff available. Some of you are going, I didn't even know they made non-marking erasers. I got lots of cool stuff in there. I have a handheld labeler. Got a little typewriter on the front of it. You just type that stuff out and push the button. It spits you out a little label. Pull the back off, you can label stuff. In that drawer are two sets of keys. On one side are the upstairs keys. By the way, if you pick them up and start at this door right back here and go in order, they unlock every door as you walk the U. On the other side are downstairs keys. By the way, if you start at this door right down here and you start with it and you just keep unlocking doors and you walk all the way around, they're in order. See, why do you tell us that? I'm telling you about the provision that's there. I'm trying to use physical examples so you can begin to process this. Why would I, as a good spiritual father, make such detailed preparation for the possibility of future use? Now, Kara and Nikki work in what is that store called? Bible Buck store downstairs. And so they oftentimes just go in my office and Kara, you just pick up that key, don't you? Because you know which one it is. Because I've made provision and you know it's the first key on the ring. Why? Because there's a spiritual father. I care enough. I just say, well, it's on that ring. No, it's not on that ring. It's the first key you come to. The first door you come to lines up with the first key you come to. Because I've made provision as a loving father. And, you know, sorry. But as are you getting this at all? If I will think this way, if you think this way at home, if Peggy thinks about what her family's going to eat and she made provision ahead of time, how much more will your Heavenly Father? Ask yourself the question, how much more? Because there are so many of us that are just begging, oh, I just wish God would do something for me. How much more would He do? Now, here's our scripture. Are you ready? Look at verse number 19. Now pay attention. This is Philippians 4:19. I know this is information that you've heard before, but I'm going to encourage you to underline and to do some things here. Okay, now let's identify. Paul is writing to a group of people, okay, that live at Philippi. And he is saying a few things about a few things here, and we get down to verse number 19, and it says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches." Now you say, well, see, Pastor, there's a need-based thing. Well, let's look at it. Let's ask a couple of questions. Why didn't Paul say, "And our God shall supply our needs"? Why didn't he make it plural? Why did he say, "My God"? Here's my answer to that rhetorical question. He knew something that the Philippians didn't. He knew something that the Philippians didn't. He said, "My God." So here's your little help. If your God doesn't become your pre-set aside, making ahead of time stuff, you will always be need-based and you will always ask other people to pray for your needs. And then somebody will come along and say, "Well, my God..." Can you just see Paul doing this? I think Paul was like a lawyer. I mean, he was really smart. And by the way, he was killing people. I think Paul's got kind of an attitude. I like Paul. Okay? And so he's writing this letter with this attitude. "Well, my God." He didn't say "our God." He didn't even say "your God." He said, "My God, the God I know." What can we learn from this? Maybe we should go ahead and saddle up with Paul and have his God for a while. He was different. He was different. "My God shall supply all your need." Why didn't he say "our needs"? What's that? But yeah, he is a personal God. But why didn't Paul say he'll meet all our needs? Paul didn't have any. What else conclusion can you draw from this? He did not have any. Wouldn't you at least in the bless me prayer include yourself? He didn't have any. He said, "My God shall supply your needs." He didn't say, "Our God shall supply our needs." And I know I'm maybe making this too technical, but let's just read it the way it is. And let's draw the possibility of some conclusions here. He said, "My God." So he said, the God who I know, who has a supply. What did he call that supply? He called it riches. I think it's interesting that he didn't call it halfway able, almost maybe kind of used stuff that I can kind of give you if I feel like it. Kind of, you know, I mean, how many are begging God for about half the supply you actually need? When He wants to supply before you ever need it, abundantly, so that when the need comes up and you hear somebody just like Paul did, he heard them talking or he was answering their question from their letter and he said, "Well, my God, the God I trust, the God who I know who's already supplied, He'll supply your needs," because you don't even know that this happens. That's why he said it this way. He didn't have any needs. Are you with me? Can you begin to see it or not? You think I'm just blowing smoke here? He didn't have any needs. Wouldn't you have said it differently? If Sabrina comes up to me and says, "Oh, Pastor, disagree with me. I have financial needs." And I say, "Good, you agree with me? I have financial needs." Isn't that how it would work? We'd trade prayers for each other. We'd agree for each other. So when Paul's responding to this, he could have just as easily said, "Oh, praise God, my God or our God's going to supply our needs." But he didn't. He said, the God I know, which by implication may suggest that you don't know Him like I know Him. Come on. You don't know Him like I know Him. That's part of the problem, isn't it? You don't know Him as a healer. You don't know Him as a provider. You don't know Him that way. That's what he was saying. He said, okay, let's make it personal. That's what he said to me when I read this. I went, I've never seen it that way before. So I told you, you gotta suspend for just a second. And he said he would supply all, in totality, your need. What did he just say? He said, I will supply what you believe is lacking. Some of you are going to get it here in just a second. Let it cook. Wait for it. What if, instead of limiting God by what you think is needed, what if you went back and just looked at what was provided? Some of you, go ahead, let it cook. You're going to get it here in just a second. Here it comes. Instead of going, look at my list here. I got my list of needs. What if we skipped back and go, what's in the box? What's the fullness? What's the all? What's available? Why is it that we're so willing, in some sort of false humility, to live with less than what God planned for us to live with? Why is that? Why are we willing? Because the world will tell us if we have too much, you should do something like what they want to do with it. What they want to do with it. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Well, what do they want to? I had a man come up to me in the Bible school this week. He said, Pastor, and they have a school of business down there. He says, Pastor, we're encouraged to ask people this. He says, what would you do if somebody gave you $1 million? Now, you see, what they were saying was the shock value of asking most people who are need-based, they don't even know what to do with $1 million. And you and I looked him straight in the face and I said, we have a plan already. He didn't know what to say after that. He wanted to educate me about the supply that God has. I'm already there. You don't have to tell me how much stuff God has. I'm already there. I'm actually believing God for $1 million. Hey, think of it this way. I know this might not be legal, so don't hold me to this, but wouldn't it be kind of great if we had like a $1 gazillion that God just brought us, and then he said, oh, by the way, because you come to this church and because we trust you, what we're going to do here is we're going to help you pay off your bills so that you get the vision of this, and then you're going to help pay off those people's bills. And how good would it be for the 115 or 20 families in this church to be debt-free as an example of what Jesus can do? Well, no, we couldn't do that, you know, because some people just don't deserve it. Yep. Agreed. I mean to tell you, some of you people have lived so silly you don't deserve it. Is that a question we're supposed to be asking? I didn't deserve when I went to the cross. While I was yet a sinner, while I was at my worst, God provided everything I needed. It was already in the box before I started messing with it. See, if you go digging through the box, you say, look what I found, and you don't keep digging, you may get so enamored by what you found. Oh, I found something. Well, congratulations. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. This is Tracy's word. This is your word, doxa. To think. Okay. He will supply it according to all the riches. And then the word glory there literally means how God thinks. Okay, I expected a better response because I'm not sure you're getting it. Did you know that God doesn't think like you? There's even scripture that says His ways are higher than our ways. But what do we always do? We come up with something that we think God will accept and then we float it to Him. Well, how about giving me this much, God? What do you think He thinks? See, it just gets so big, it just makes me wiggly all over. And I'm not prone to being wiggly, okay? But are you getting this? What did he think? What did God think? He's not asking for your pea brain to come up with something. Well, I guess I'll think the best, biggest thing I can get. It's bigger than that. It's way bigger than that. It's beyond anything you could ever even dare to ask or think or even dream up. Well, no, he didn't provide that. No. You can argue with God all you want, but you will soon have somebody say to you, my God will supply your need because I don't have any. And according to the riches and glory and how God thinks. That might help some of you. I got a whole bunch of stuff here. Let's just look back. Can we, is it okay? You okay so far? I mean, I don't want any of your backsides to cause your brain to shut down. So if you're getting close, just let me know. Because I got this stuff. This stuff is flowing in me deep here. And I'm just going to keep going. Boy, I'll tell you, in the next couple of weeks. Dear me. I had to just purpose in my heart to stay focused. Because just when I found out that it's according to how God thinks, I just went, oh, this is way more than anybody ever warned me about. This is way bigger than what anybody ever warned me about. I don't even have to dream stuff up anymore. God's got better dreams than we do. I'm telling you, I'm cutting some steps out of my prayer life. Some of you guys are spending 45 minutes of your prayer time telling God how bad life is by asking Him for all that stupid stuff you think you need. That floated real big, didn't it? I might should have said that nicer. God told me the stuff I was asking for was stupid. I just thought I'd pass it on. I mean, honestly, if God's got a check... I'm sorry, I'm just stuck here for a second. If God's got a check cut for $10,000 for you, you say, give me $1,000, and you don't receive anything, what's the problem? You're not asking right. He's got all this prepped up for you over here, and you're asking for this down here. He's not going to belittle His own name by giving you something that small. See, some of you are going to get that one tomorrow, too. He's not going to belittle His name by giving you something so small. He says, you don't understand what I've got planned for you. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has entered the mind of man. Well, God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. This is Philippians 4 and 8. Sorry if I didn't make that clear. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lowly, whatever things are of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate. Can I help you? Many of you are thinking on all the wrong things. You know what meditate means? It means to mumble in your mind. Mumble in your mind. How many of you ever been caught mumbling? You're walking down the aisle of Walmart, you know, praying in the spirit or something, doing something kind of crazy like that. You're mumbling along like that. And all of a sudden, you got people who are kind of hanging around you, looking at you like, okay, where's your keeper? Did you forget your pills today? I've actually done that when we've been in that situation and Tracy and I was other friends. And you know, we might holler, don't worry, we forgot to give him his medicine. You know, to try and take a little bit. Because you're mumbling about, you know, this stuff's rolling around on the inside of you. If what's rolling around on the inside of you is the need list, then you're a need-based liver. If what's rolling around on the inside of you is how much God has supplied, then you're starting to get it. You're a provision-based liver. Hallelujah. Notice it says in verse number 8, think on these, meditate on these things. Put together in your mind a story. Oh, this is so good. Look at verse, where is it, Lord? 11. Not that I speak in regard to need. The I speak in regard is one word. This is so good. Ready, kids? Are you ready? L-E-G-O. Spell it. What is it? Lego. Anybody have Legos? What do you do with Legos? You build a story. It's exactly the word. I wonder if that German place that manufactures Legos understood that. Isn't God cool? He said, not that I speak. And so it says, Not that I Lego in regard to need. Not that I build this story. So what was Paul saying? He said, I don't build the story with my words about need. I don't build the story with my words about need. Now let me ask you, and don't raise your hand, don't embarrass yourself, but how many of you are building your story based on need? I need this. I need that. God, I need you to do this. God, if you really loved me. You know, I need. Give me. My name is Jimmy. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. Learned literally means understanding with answers. Understanding with answers. How many of you learned what 2 + 2 - 3 is? God, see, some of you are already putting the understanding together with an action or an answer. 2 + 2 = 4 - 3 = 1. Did y'all get it? That's understanding with answer. Right there. That's learned. So Paul was saying, notice it, he didn't say, we've all learned this. He said, I've learned. Whatever state I am, to be content. You can't translate this effectively enough in English. You can't. It means this. To be so satisfied with the sufficiency of Jesus that it governs life. It governs the story that you tell. He said, I learned how to be content. I learned under all circumstances to be so satisfied with the supply of Jesus that it governs my story. It governs my life. I want to live right there. That's provision-based living. That regardless of what state I'm in, according to anybody else, my own determination doesn't really make any difference. I want for my life to be governed by Him. So satisfied with the provision of Jesus that whatever state I'm in, it governs my Legos. It governs the story that I build. Let me close with this. Now, you know what? Sorry. How many of you know I'm leaving out a verse that's pretty important? How many of you know what Philippians 4:13 says? Do you see it differently now? He's saying, I've learned to be content. I've learned to figure out through the sufficiency of Jesus Christ that that's what governs my story. And then he says, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's his story. That's his Lego house. That's why he said this. That's why he said in verse 19, my God. He didn't know if it was anybody else's God in this way. That's why he said, my God to supply your needs because I don't have any. Because the sufficiency of Christ so governs my life that it's a story I tell. It's the Legos that I build. Music team, we just need one song. I've already preached longer than I probably should, but man, this was on me. Come on, music team. Look with me at Luke chapter 12. Look at 22nd verse, Luke chapter 12, and we'll just kind of go through some of this real quickly, and then we're going to sing. And then I want you to get it. I want you to change stories. I want you to build with a different set of Legos. Then he said, verse 22, therefore I say to you, do not worry. New American Standard says, take no thought about your life. Life is more. You see all of this. Skip down. Verse 29. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink. Why? Because it's already been provided. The story that you have, the contentment that you have, recognizes that all that you will need at any point in the future has already been provided for through the cross of Jesus Christ. See, you don't have to think about these things. How much free time? How many of you have ever been worn out by thinking? I mean, you're spending all that time with all those mental gyrations. Stop it. Take no thought. You say, no, Pastor, it's not really true. Well, okay, then cut that part out of your Bible. Do not seek what you should eat What's it meaning? Don't process over and over and over again how you think things are supposed to go. Verse 30, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. Again, the point is that since He knows that you need them, what did He do? He provided them before you needed them. I know some of you going, well, how come am I without so much? Because you haven't been digging in the box. You've been living need-based, oh, begging God to do something. He said, I did. I gave you a box named Jesus. It's all in there. Go ahead and look. That's why my God can supply all your needs. I don't have any. All these things the nation of the world seek, and your Father knows you need them. So seek the kingdom of God and all these things. Look at verse 32, get ready to underline. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's what? Okay, go ahead and define what you think good pleasure is. He's like okay with it, right? He's happy. What's he happy with? To give you the kingdom. He's just not trying to meet your needs. He's trying to give you the fullness of His kingdom. That's a whole different provision there. No, we're still begging God to do what we think He should be doing for us. It's your Father's good pleasure. Forever get rid of the idea that your God has to be begged, arm twisted, and you've got to live just right to get Him to move for you. While you were yet sinners, He died. His Son was crucified for you. Before you ever had a need, He made provision for it. Can you with me today begin the process of becoming a provision-based liver rather than a needs-based liver? Can you begin to look backwards with me and go, all right, praise God, look what I found in the box today. I was feeling a little bit bad this week because they normally give me a little offering to preach at the school, and he didn't give me one. Well, he taught the fourth hour class that my wife was in, and he handed an envelope to her with an offering in it for us, for Tracy and I, but I didn't see it. So we went to lunch, and I'm shaking his hand. You know, you ever know how you get that, where you have that expectation something's coming your way, and I'm thinking, he didn't hand me a check, and I kind of had my faith out there for it. You know, I was kind of telling God I had a need. You know, I got to have put tires on Mama's car, and what they normally give me will buy 1.5. And so, please God, give me 1.5 tires worth of offering, hallelujah. And so we're sitting there in this restaurant. Nobody knows we're there. And the waitress comes up to us and says, we're kind of waiting for the ticket because we had to leave, and I was going to buy his lunch and he was going to buy my lunch. We were going to argue. She came up and says, don't worry, somebody paid for your lunch. We're looking around going, who do we know in here? Well, I'm in Colorado Springs. I don't know anybody except him. We couldn't either one of us find. And then I went, isn't God amazing? He made provision for us at Ruby Tuesdays before we ever got there. That's just simple. And then as we're getting in the car, Tracy's got her Bible. She picks it up, and out of the fold, she forgot to tell me, falls an envelope with an offering in it. Yeah, she did. She opened it and gave it to me. See if we could afford 1.5 tires. God knew beforehand. He set things into motion beforehand. It's happening in your life. Amen. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Quit seeing your God so angry and fed up with what you need. He made provision before you needed it. Amen? Stand to your feet, would you please? Father, in Jesus' name, make us know, like Paul, that my God shall supply all their needs, because I don't have any. My God made provision for me before I had a need. It's His good pleasure to give me the kingdom. Father, I thank You today that not just in relationship to money, Father God, but it's His good pleasure to give us His anointing that functions in the kingdom of God. It's His good pleasure to give us the finances we need. It's His good pleasure to give us the love we need. It's His good pleasure to make us attractive so others are drawn to Jesus. It's His good pleasure. Father, we receive today your good pleasure in Jesus' name. And everyone said, if you're caught in need-based thinking, I want you, while we sing, I want you to make a note about that. Just say, I need, and just write down what you think you need on your little list, okay? Just write down what you think you need on your little list while they sing. Please do this exercise. Please take the time. Write down what you think you need. Does everybody understand the instructions? Write down what you think you need. At the end of this song, I want you to wad that up, and I want you to bring it up here as we're leaving. No, I'm going to stand at the door back there. Tracy and I will stand at the door. I want you to write it down. We're not going to read it. We're going to burn it for you. I want you to write it down, and I want you to wad it up, and I want you to hand it to me or to Tracy, knowing that my God shall supply all your needs. Okay? Write your need down. And let's sing, brother. Hallelujah.
This has been a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. Our phone number is 970-359-2424, and our website is newlifeeckley.com. Thank you for listening, and please feel free to share this material with others. Our main service begins Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and we hope to see you at New Life Christian Center.